We're at 12. Amen. And this is what I pray, and I pray that you pray the same thing with me, is that we ask God to do this, but I know the Lord is able, and He's able to do immeasurably more than what we ask. And I pray, I hope, with all my heart, that God gives us more than 20. Not to show how good we are, but to show how good He is. Amen? Amen. Well, you got me, you don't got Jimmy. If you didn't figure that out already, Jimmy is preaching at a small church in Austin that he told the pastor that he would cover for him. And so he's doing that. And he's like, well, Phil, I'll let you do the most busiest Sunday that we've had. And then he asked me, he said, why don't you just go ahead and finish the series up in David? So I've finished 3 of Jimmy's series in the last 2 years. And I said, you know, I finished 3 of your series. And he's like, yeah, I know. But I finished the one he did on Paul, the Macedonian call. I finished his 7 churches, and now I'm finishing David. He likes to challenge me. He likes to challenge me. So we're going to be in 1 Chronicles 17. Man, I hope you've enjoyed this series on David. Just the man of God that David is, and even the song that we sung, you know, that David had a heart for God. And I pray that you have a heart for God as well. And I love the song we sang, is the song Egypt. Is it not true in your life that God has plucked you from your sinful life, that He's led you out of Egypt, that He's split the Red Sea? He's made it so easy for us to come to Christ, and He's taken us to the promised land. I pray with all my heart that you have that in your life, because there's nothing better. There's nothing better than salvation in your life. It is so amazing and so wonderful to have in our life. I pray we can praise the Lord today. I pray we can praise the Lord today. I want to read 2 Timothy 1:9. Listen to it very closely. It says, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Amen. He has called us. He has saved us for what? For His purpose and by His grace. It's nothing that you can do. And Paul understood that you could do nothing for a salvation. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in the grace of Jesus Christ to save you, because it's the only thing that can, and there's nothing better than being called by God. I pray that you understand that there is nothing better than being called by God. His callings are so wonderful and perfect, though they can be uncomfortable. Amen. Maybe if you know that. Phil Fisher, do you know that? They can be uncomfortable. They can be scary. Oh, I can imagine just the things we've already heard from David. Going up against the giant must have been pretty scary. Must have been pretty uncomfortable. Having the mighty men and the armies and the battles and all those things must have been scary and uncomfortable. And those are the things when God calls us, it's going to feel uncomfortable. Why? Because He wants you to understand you have to rely on Him and not yourself. He's not going to call you to something that you can do on your own. And this is what we've seen so far in this series on David, is that everything David did was much bigger than David. And everything that we do here at New Life and the ministries and in your own life, trust me, when you follow God's calling, it will be bigger than you. What a blessing it is to do things for the Lord. What a blessing it is to be called by God. There's nothing like it, to be called from the living God. Nothing like it to be commissioned by the living God. See, there are many believers today, I think, that have just settled for something good rather than something great. What do I mean by that? It means we'll do good things, which are great. You ought to do those things. But we will not go to the great thing God's called us to. It's too big, it's too scary. I'll do something else. I'll share this story just as before we start, is when God called me to preach, I tried to do everything else but preach. I said, Lord, you called me to preach, I'll go teach children's church. Lord, you called me to preach, I'll go teach youth. And then at some point I was like, Lord, I guess I'm just going to have to do what you called me to. And I will tell you, just if I can boast on the Lord, it is the greatest thing to get to preach. Why? Not because preaching is so great. Because what God called you to is so great. Whatever that is in your life, think about it. Hopefully you know. If you don't, pray to the Lord that you find out. But whatever great thing God's called you to will be great. There's no position, no title that's great. Only what God has called us to. Amen? Amen. So let me ask you this morning, what great thing has God called you to? What great thing has God called you to. See, what have we seen so far in this series? We've seen David's anointing. We've seen him being called. That was an interesting experience. David, he sit there, he's not even in the family, and Samuel goes and he's looking for another king, and he goes to this house, he sees all these great men, all these sons of Jesse. He said, I think that might be, and the Lord says, nope, that's not it. I think that one's gonna be the king. Nope, that's not it. And then Samuel to Jesse's like, do you have any more sons? Where do we find them? We find them in the shepherd. We find them in the flock, pastoring the flock. Can I tell you, kings don't come from a shepherd field. Kings don't come from a shepherd field. And then we see David running from Saul. Ends up in the enemy's territory. Running from Saul. Not where he's supposed to be in life. And then we see him commit adultery. Commit adultery and murder. Complete devastation. Complete sin. Ruins a lot of things. And then the last week's message, we've seen Jimmy talk about the mighty men. David's mighty men. Can I tell you that David has had a roller coaster of a journey? And can I promise you, your life with God will be a roller coaster. There will be ups and downs, suffering and pain, but also extreme amount of joy, overflowing joy, and overflowing peace when you follow God. But I want to share this story with you today, so that you might see David's heart for God. That you might see David's heart for God, and that God has a purpose and a great calling for you and your life. See, Jimmy mentioned all those positions in the church. All good positions. All positions that we need filled. But it will not be in comparison to whatever great thing God has called you to. Whatever great thing God has called you to. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, starting in verse 1, it says, after David had settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, here I am living in a house of cedar while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent. Nathan replied to David, whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you. See, we see at this moment that David is upset. Why is he so upset? Because he sees this awesome palace that he's living in, this awesome house of cedar. Cedar was like the most expensive wood. He's got everything that he ever could need, everything that he ever could want. He's the king. He has all the things. And then he looks around and he says, God's the Ark of the Covenant's under a tent? Ark of the Covenant is under a tent. He looks around and sees how blessed he is. And says, this is what I'm doing. This is where God lives. This is where God dwells. See, David here wants to do a good thing, right? This seems like a good thing. He wants to build a temple for God. He wants to build the temple. And he asks ultimately, what can I do for the Lord? Why do I wish we would do that? I wish we would ask with all of our heart, what can I do for the Lord? What am I doing for God? God has blessed me in so many ways. What am I doing for God? Sometimes we think coming to church is enough. Sometimes we think coming to Wednesdays is enough. Sometimes we think coming to Sunday school is enough. Sometimes we think giving our tithes is enough. Those are great things. Those are good things. But let me tell you, it's not enough. You have to give your life to God. And David understood that here. He understood that God deserves everything. Amen? Does God not deserve everything? Wow, God has given me so much. This is what David said. He's given me so much. What can I do for him? How can I please him? What an attitude that you can have to say, what can I do to please the Lord? Can I promise you something, that you'll be in a pretty great spot in your life if your attitude is, what can I do for the Lord? How can I please the Lord? And Nathan the prophet here says, he says, what does he say? He says, do it. It makes sense. Do it. It makes sense. It's common sense. Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you. This is what the prophet says. But in verse 3 it says, but that night the word of God came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Whenever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders whom I've commanded to shepherd my people, why have you not built me a house of cedar? See, here we see Nathan spoke way too soon. Even though it was a good thing, Nathan spoke way too soon. And what does God say to David here? He says no. Wow, do we not like when God tells us no? So many times God does tell us no. And let me ask you, how do you respond? How do you respond when God says no? And this is how most people respond. How dare you, God? How dare you tell me not to do this? This is a good thing. How dare you? You get angry, you get upset, you complain, you gripe, you do all those things. What do you do when God tells you no? Do you get upset? Do you get angry? Or do you praise God? Do you praise God that He would even use you? See, even if God says that you're not going to be the one to do it, this is important to understand. Even if God says you're not going to be the one to do it, that doesn't mean you don't do anything. See, just because there's that one thing that you really want to do that God says it's not going to be you, doesn't mean you just don't do anything. What do? We seek the Lord. We trust the Lord. We run after the Lord to find out what He's called us to do. What do you want me to do, Lord? This is what we do. See, this is so important to understand why, because we all need to be doing something for the Lord. God never wants you just to sit. And this is, if you read on throughout this, you'll understand that David here, though he wasn't the one to build the temple, he gathered all the materials for it so that his son would build it. Can I tell you that even if God calls you and says, you're not going to be the one to sing, you're not going to be the one to lead worship, it doesn't mean you can't have a hand in it at all. You can still praise the Lord. You can still sing for the Lord. And even, let's say, in children's church and those types of things, even if God says, you're not going to be a teacher, that doesn't mean you can't participate. Because we even see David participate with the temple, even though he understood he wasn't going to be the one to do it. In verse 7 it says, now then tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all of your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they will have a home of their own. No longer to be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also subdue all your enemies. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. See, we see this amazing piece there in verse 7. It says, now then tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over all of Israel. See, this is so important that God is reminding David of what he's done for him. What does it say? I've taken you from the flock. I've taken you from the shepherd flock. I've taken you from tending the flock and appointed you ruler over Israel. He says, David, don't forget what I've already done for you. David, don't forget that you were just a shepherd boy and now you're a king. And let me tell you, church, never forget what God has done for you in your life. It is what will motivate you to do the will of God. It will be the thing that motivates you to do the call that God has called you to in your life. He reminds him of where he's been, and now he shows him where he's going. Remember that God has a plan for you in your life. He has a purpose for your life. Amen? Amen. He shows him where he is going, and never, never forget where God's brought you from. I remember where he brought me from. Sin. Phil Fisher did a message on Wednesday, and the main point of the whole message was what? I was once dead in my sins, and Christ made me alive. It is one of the greatest things that anybody could ever have happen to them in their life, is that Jesus Christ takes them from death and gives them life. Amen? I hope you're a testimony to that. And this is what I love at the end of verse 10. What does he say? David wants to build him the house. David wants him to build the temple. And then God says, I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. You can't outgive God. Amen. This is so funny to me. David goes in and he wants to build him this awesome house. He wants him to build this house of cedar. And God says, you're not going to be the one to do it. But let me tell you something even better. I'm going to build you a house. And God keeps his promises. Amen. This is what we see. You can never outgive God. And see, God might not use you for the good thing that you have in your heart, but He'll always use you for His great thing. He will always use you for His great and awesome thing. That's the promise of God, that God will use you if you let Him. Did you hear what I said? If you let Him. There's too many believers just taking a seat on the bench rather than trusting in God, that God knows better than we do. Amen. God knows. This is the problem. What do we say? I can't be the one to lead worship. Can't sing really well. I can't be the one to teach children's church because I can't teach really well. Can I promise you that if God has called you to it, He will equip you. Amen. If God has called you to this great and awesome purpose in your life, I promise you that He will equip you. He doesn't just leave us by ourselves. And what does He say? He says in verse 8, He says, I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all the enemies from before you. God is telling David, don't forget, I've never left you. Even through all the times of sin, even through all the times of the mistakes, God has never left them. I've been with you wherever you've gone. All those battles you've won, David, that was me. I did those things. God reminds him. And God reminds us. God reminds us. In verse 11, it says, when your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. And I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. And Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. This is such an interesting piece. And who is God talking about? Who is the son that God is? He's talking about Solomon. Solomon was going to be David's son. And that Solomon was going to be the one to build God the temple. And if you read your Bibles, you realize Solomon's the one that builds God the temple. But maybe you're asking here. I've asked it. Is this true? Is this promise true? Because the Israelites, they go into exile, and then after that, there's no king. So did his throne really last forever? Did David's throne really last forever? Well, I want to read a couple verses. Listen to them very closely. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice for that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in Luke 1, 31 through 33, it says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there will be no end. See, there's two parts of what God is telling David here. See, partly it will be fulfilled in Solomon, but ultimately and most amazing, it will be established by the Son of God. It will be established by Jesus. This promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you again that God keeps his promises. Even when you think that God isn't keeping his promises, let me tell you that God sees much more than I do, that God knows more than I do, he understands more than I do. And I love this piece where God is telling David, there'll be one, and his name will be called Jesus. And his name will be called Jesus. God makes great and awesome promises to David here. Great and awesome. Maybe some of the most awesome promises you really see in the Bible to David of what God's going to do through him. Now and in the future. Some amazing, amazing promises. Well, let's see what David has to say. Verse 16, it says, then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, Lord God? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You, Lord God, have looked upon me as though I were the most exalted man. What more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant, Lord. For the sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and have made known all these great promises. You see this point where David responds in humility. What else can you respond with? When God says, this is all I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you all these things. And this is what David says. Who am I? Who am I that you have brought me this far? And then he says, if that wasn't even enough, now you're going to make my house last forever? Who am I? What is my family that you've brought me this far? Can you think about that in your life? Think about all what the Lord has done in your life. Has he not brought you this far? Has he not brought you this far? And then, as if this were not enough in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. See, in Christ we have salvation, and it is so wonderful, and that's enough. Is it not? Amen, church? Salvation is enough for God to deserve all the praise and all the gratitude. But God is so good in his giving. God is so abundant in his mercy. God is so abundant in his grace that he continues to give more. And we don't even deserve it. We don't even deserve the grace of God, the mercy of God, all those things. But he willingly and so freely gives it. And this is what David says, who am I? I don't deserve all this. I was just a shepherd boy. I don't deserve to be used by you. I don't deserve to be used by the holy God. But you're doing it. He's so thankful to God that God would even use a person like David. Again, let me remind you. Commits adultery. Runs from Saul when he's not supposed to. And there's much more stories than even those two. We're just scratching the surface with David here. God would still use him. So let me tell you, church, that I don't care what sin you've done. Repent of your sins and run to God and he'll use you. Repent of your sins and run to the Lord and he'll use you. See, David here cares more about what God's will is in his life than his own. See, David's will was to build the temple. God says, nope, you're not going to be the one. But David cares more about the will of God than his own. And I pray today that we care more about the will of God, because if you want to see lives change, if you want to see this church do some amazing things by the power of God, trust in the will of God, not your own will. We're just beggars, church. Just like David. Just beggars. We go to God with filthy rags. Nothing. But God chooses you to work in the kingdom of God. Is that not amazing? Is that not so wonderful that God would choose even you, even a sinner like you? See, David understood that even God's no's are good. I hope that's a reminder to you this morning, that even God's no's are good. When God tells you no in your life, I've been there. When God tells you no, know this, that they're still good. Trust him that he knows more than you do. Verse 20, it says, there is no one like you, Lord, and there is no God but you. As we have heard with our own ears, and who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whose God went out to redeem, a people for himself and to make a name for yourself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations from before your people whom you've redeemed from Egypt. You've made your people Israel your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. David is giving reverence to God. Can I just tell you something, church? God deserves all the glory. God deserves all the praise. He gives us amazing reverence to the Lord because there's none like him. This is what David says. It's one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament, honestly. And David says, there's no one like you, Lord, and there's no God but you. There's no one like the Lord that gives like the Lord. There's no one like the Lord that gives grace like the Lord. There's no one that gives mercy and forgives sins like the Lord. He gives us awesome reverence to God. David's also showing us how to pray. How to pray to the Lord. We come to God with humility and we give God reverence. Amen? Amen. See, David's the king. Can I tell you, this doesn't make sense for a king to talk like this? It would make sense to David to walk out in flesh to say this, and we do this sometimes. We might not say it, but we sometimes think it. David could have easily said, "Wow, look at me, that God would give to me. Look how great I am, that God would do something like this." But what does David do instead? He says, "Look how great God is, that God would give to even me." Is that not a testimony in your life? That you can walk out in pride and say, "Look how good I am, that God blesses me." Or you can say, "Look how great God is, that God would even bless a person like me." This is what David is saying. And he says, "As we have heard with our own ears, and who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whose God went out to redeem a people for himself." If you're a partaker in the blood of Christ, that's you. That promise is you. You're now a part of the family of God. And God went out to redeem a people like you, a people like me. How do you do that? He sent his son to die on the cross for us. See, David is reminding God of all he's done. What does he say? He says, "The people you brought out of Egypt." He's reminding, not that God needs reminding. God doesn't need reminding. But again, David's giving reverence. And let me just share with you what the Lord has done for you and done for me. The holy God, perfect, came and became a human in Jesus Christ. Walked this life and walked it straight to the cross for you. Bruised, broken, bloodshed, spear in his side, cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Cries out, "It is finished." Gives up his spirit and dies. Does that not show the love of God, church? That he would do that for a people like you, people like me. And then God raises him from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I. That if we put our trust in him, if we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If that is not the greatest gift you've ever heard, then you've missed it. Then you don't understand it. If that's not the greatest thing you've ever heard, you've missed it. The Lord has done so much. And then he would give you grace. And then he would give you mercy. And then he would call you to great callings. He would say, "Go out into the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them the things all that I have taught you. And surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age." The Lord doesn't just sit on the throne and he leaves us here. He's with us wherever we go. He's with us wherever we go. And he gives you the Holy Spirit to be your counselor, your encourager. Man, does God love us? I don't even know what else to say. Other than God must have really loved us to do all those things. Do not think God's not going to use you if he did all those things so that you can be used. God must have really surely wanted to use you in your life for the kingdom of God if he sent his only begotten son. Amen? Amen. Verse 23. "And now the Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised so that it will be established and that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, 'The Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God.' And the house of your servant David will be established before you. You, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. So your servant has found courage to pray to you. You, Lord, are God and have promised these good things to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever." And when God blesses your life, always know that it is going to be blessed. You have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever. God's blessings are everlasting, and David is trusting in the promises of God. Oh, I pray you're trusting in the promises of God. that you're trusting in the promises of God in your life. I find it amazing. This whole part, this whole prayer, there's something interesting if you continue to look in it. David calls himself the king. The king calls himself a servant 8 times. 8 times in this prayer. Can I tell you, you can be the pastor. You can be the worship leader. You can be the children's church teacher. You can be the nursery teacher, the nursery worker. You can be the director at the meal ministry, the director at the women's life house. You can have this great and awesome ministry, have this awesome title, CEO, whatever that is. But you will never have a better title than the servant of the Lord. Never in your life will you have a better title. And David knew that. The king calling himself a servant. I don't care what you do in your life. I don't care what great and awesome thing you do in your life. It will not be better than being a servant of the living God. It won't. It won't. Thank God he uses us for the kingdom of God. Thank God he uses us. Well, what do you do when God says no in your life? What do you do when God says no in your life to something good in your life? We respond with humility. Number one, we respond like David responds. Who am I? Who am I that you brought me this far? Who am I that you would use a person like me? And number two, thank God. Thank God every day that he's bought you with his blood. Thank God that he uses you because he's redeemed you. And number three, trust that God knows better than you do. See, you can get angry when God tells you no. You can get upset. You can get frustrated. You can get mad. You can do all those things. I've been there. I'm a testimony to it. Or you can trust God. Or you can trust God knows better than you do. And number four, most important, because we're humans, sometimes we got a nature where our head gets a little too big. Sometimes. Head gets a little too big. Too big for our britches, right? That's what the old people say. Remember, there's no better title than to be called a servant of the Lord. You want to come in here? And the Lord's called you to sweep the floors. Oh, it's so good. You guys don't like that. If the Lord's called you to volunteer at the meal ministry, you better do it. If the Lord's called you to be the worship leader, you better do it. If the Lord calls you to be the teacher in the children's church, Sunday school, all that list that Jimmy gave, I don't even remember there's so many. You better do it. Because I'll share from experience in my life, why was it a miserable 2 years when I wasn't doing what the Lord called me to do? Why was it a miserable moment in my life when I kept telling God no? When I kept telling God no. See, there are many believers just settling for good. Church, good. Tithes and offering, good. Wednesday service, good. All good things. Rather than doing the great thing God's called you to. I wonder what this church might look like if we all surrender to the will of God. Look pretty amazing. Look pretty amazing. Are you running from the great call God's called you to? Think about it for a minute. What is the great thing God's called you to? Don't be upset if it's not the thing you wanted. Don't be upset if it's not the thing you wanted to do or you feel like you're not able to do. What is the great thing God has called you to do? Maybe you're here today. I have no idea. And you're doing everything but it. It doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be that difficult to submit to the will of God. But sure, we do make it hard, don't we? We do make it harder than it needs to be. You know, God just wants to bless you. This is what David says at the end. You've blessed it and it will be blessed forever. There's no one who blesses like the Lord. God is calling you to whatever it is, this great calling, so that you might be blessed in it. but you won't be blessed out of it. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.